Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Comic-Con Stars. We are on the eve of Steampunk Mid-Atlantic, and tonight we're going to talk about the upcoming con. We've got three guests that will be with us during Steampunk Mid-Atlantic, and we're going to have a lot of fun. First of all, I want to say hello, Papa Stro Maestro. Are you with us?
I sure am. Doing my nightly power walk, and once again, happy and honored to be part of Comic-Con Stars tonight.
Oh, we're glad to have you, Captain Dave Atwell. Are you here?
Yes, sir. Drink is refreshed. Cigar is lit. And if you don't mind me doing a shameless plug, Rotting Frontier, the first book in the Hunger series, is live on Amazon. So after you don't show, stop what you're doing, get Mama out of the kitchen, tell her to get on Amazon and get that ordered for you. Not Shakespeare, but it's the next best thing.
Thank it is the next best thing to Shakespeare. That's right. Well,
you forgot the right here in Jacksonville, North Carolina bit, Dave, like Mick Foley does.
You like there. You got to do who was the one that did the Georgia wrestling? Freddie, God, and he used to do the be there. You remember that guy?
Oh, yeah.
He used to always talk about fights in the Dorton Arena.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to have to Google that name to figure out the last name because it's going to bug me for the rest of the night.
Then there was the Tony Tiger guy, Lee Marshall.
Anyhow, the more awesome. Important ventures than to me, so.
Well, anyway, we're glad to hear this. We're glad the Frontier is doing well. I want to let everybody know a couple things. Next week, Darnell Boone, the boxer, June 29th. Mike Roberts on July the 6th, along with several members of the cast of Vaughn. And, of course, we'll have Miss Sparkle with us, Liz Allred. We miss her. She's about back from being on assignment with a major network for about 3 weeks, and we miss her. And when we have our next film guests, we will have her with us. And then special show July the 13th. I want to invite everybody to come meet the daughter of film producer, director, and writer Edward D. Wood Jr. Kathy Wood Towner will be with us along with her daughter Jennifer and Alan Braswell, a close family friend who's a close friend of mine. And July the 13th, the daughter of Edward D. Wood, she's going to share stories, and we're going to have a blast. It's going to be the most fun as we move into the second half of the year. And, of course, we'll have Papa Stro and Dave with us and lots of other folks. But we got some good shows coming up on Comic-Con Stars. We got, of course, this weekend, the only thing I'm going to mention is Steampunk Mid-Atlantic, June 24th and 25th in Raleigh, North Carolina, at the Ramada Inn across from, as you said, Dorton Arena. And we're going to have a great time tomorrow night. Be there about 8 o'clock, and we'll all be around the lobby. Some vendors will be moving in. We'll be getting some of the nice exhibits. They'll be in the lobby and in the lower mezzanine. And Papa Stro Maestro will be there. I will be there. We'll be greeting people and having a lot of fun. And now it is time to introduce one of our guests for Steampunk Mid-Atlantic, a fantastic director and a great guy. I've only recently had a chance to get to know him a little bit, although I've known his work quite a while. The feature film at approximately midnight for the Up All Night Film Festival will be Son of Clowns. It is a raging success. It's been in a number of film festivals, and we have direct. I know, stop laughing. You know what? Superlatives are important tonight. We got Bradley Bethel. Bradley, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Happy to be here. After the captain compared his work to Shakespeare, I feel like I need to say something like, Son of Clowns. It's not Steven Spielberg, but the next best thing, or something. It's on Amazon Prime. You can watch it. Do that tonight too, But thanks for having me on. One clarification: I'm the producer. I was the producer of Son of Clowns. Evan Kidd was the director. No, but that's all right. Evan's awesome. We have a great relationship. We had a lot of fun making the film.
Wow, Bradley, they're already comparing you to Shakespeare. Man, that's
right.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So,
well,
anyways, yeah, good to be here.
It's great to have you here. My experience with Son of Clowns is Papa Stro Maestro invited me to the Kukulores Film Festival. He said, "You got to come see Son of Clowns. I'm in it." I went and saw it. It was really, really good. It was engaging. It was fun. It was a little heartbreaking. And it kept my attention for every minute that it was up there on the screen. So I really enjoyed it. I was impressed.
Awesome.
We were fortunate to
have
Evan Kidd. Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. We had Evan Kidd a couple of months ago. Actually, it was last December. He was on Comic-Con Stars, and we talked about Son of Clowns. And we are glad to have you on here. Of course, we'll be able to see you. People can visit with you at Steampunk Mid-Atlantic. But why don't you tell us a little bit about your experience producing Son of Clowns. And now, Rob, Papa Stro Maestro, I want you to join in because you were in the film. So I want, first of all, Bradley, tell us about producing the film and things that people would like to know. We got a great crowd. We got a big crowd out there tonight. So listening. So I'm glad. I'm glad we got you here. So tell us about producing Son of Clowns.
Well, obviously, the best part was working with Rob Kellum. I mean, you know, that's just a given, right? We're getting to work with Rob Kellum.
Seriously,
I
was just blessed to be in you guys' presence. Oh, my goodness, what an awesome casting crew. You guys are incredible.
It was, yeah, we had a ton of fun. I think it was just such a fun production. I mean, it was intense. We shot it in 10 days, and every day was like, I think the shortest day of those 10 days was 12 hours. So, you know, most of the days were 14 hours shooting. There was one or two days that was like 16 or 18 hours shooting. I mean, it was crazy. Definitely not following union standards. but we were essentially a no budget. I mean, basically Evan and I, you know, bought people meals and, you know, paid for some transportation and, you know, maybe a few little supplies are here and there, but it was really a labor of love. And, you know, I think we all wanted to do it, as sort of a expression of solidarity, of determination to make indie film in North Carolina. 'Cause we made that, I think it was only a few months or less than a year after the film incentive program that North Carolina used to have went away. The state government decided not to go away with
part.
Yeah. And so, you know, so like filmmakers in North Carolina were sort of down, you know, or like about what had happened that the film incentive went away. And so as we were getting ready to do this film, we're just like, man, like indie film is still alive in North Carolina, and we are going to be resilient, and we are going to show that good indie film can still be made in North Carolina. And really, like, that's the kind of film that has to be made, because the incentive program is really for the big, you know, productions, Hollywood productions coming into North Carolina anyways. And so our attitude was like, well, look, man, if we're not going to get the big Hollywood productions coming in North Carolina, then we're going to do it ourselves. We're going to make independent film. It's going to be a labor of love, and we're going to have a lot of fun doing it. And that's what we did. And so, you know, we look back on it. It was such a great experience, I think, for everybody. I mean, we had production assistants on the project who are now like in good film schools, you know, on their way to becoming filmmakers themselves. And Evan and I have both gone on to do other projects. And so it's fun. It's very North Carolina too. If you live in North Carolina, especially, I think you'll get a kick out of it. And you definitely, you feel the North Carolina summer, I think, when you watch the film, the heat,
no doubt,
of North Carolina summer, yes, is very present in the film. We ended up filming on some of the like hottest days of that summer. One story I'll tell you, we had this scene in a bar, and so we got this bar to let us film there this one night, because it was a night they weren't, it was like a Monday night. We got this bar to let us film on a Monday night because they weren't open. And so we get there Monday night, and we find out from them that their air conditioning had broken down 3 days before. And so it had just been basically like an oven of just like sweltering stale heat, you know, just building up in this bar. It was actually cooler outside than it was inside. So there's, you know, so if you look at this one scene, you may notice people, especially dripping with sweat in that scene. But, you know, it was bonding. It was a bonding experience, I think, is the way we look at it. So, again, it was a lot of fun to make. I think it's a fun film to watch. And, you know, we've, like you said, we've had a few film festivals, and it's now on Amazon Prime. So we just hope more and more people see it. And we're really excited to be at Steampunk. Showing a steampunk on Saturday night.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Kind of
by the way, I had never heard of. I'm really excited about steampunk, about this convention, by the way, because I had never even heard of steampunk before this, in my ignorance, my cultural ignorance, and so. You know, and the way I found out about it is from Rob posting it on Facebook, and I thought, well, that looks really interesting. And then, you know, talking to you, then you want to show Son of Clowns. I'm like, awesome, man, let's do this, man. So I'm super pumped. You got to tell me though, if I'm right, when I've been telling people about this, I'm like, we're going to be at the steampunk convention. And some people are like, oh, steampunk, that's cool. I know. And other people are like, what's steampunk? I've been saying it's like sci-fi with an 1800s twist. I don't know. Is that somewhat
okay.
Accurate? I don't know.
You're pretty
yeah.
close. Let me tell you
you're
what
right.
I'm saying.
Yep.
There are two versions of steampunk. One
okay.
is the. Do you remember the old television show, The Wild Wild West?
Oh yeah. Yep.
With Robert Conrad and Artemis Gordon. And Ross, who played Artemis. Well, that was one version of steampunk that kind of got into the popular culture of the United States. The other version of steampunk comes from England and France. It's it started with Jules Verne's 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, and it's very much an Edwardian or Victorian look at the world, assuming that electricity didn't happen and the world was powered by steam. And so
yeah,
you've got
okay.
these two viewpoints, but it's still wonderful. And in
uh-huh.
there, now over in Europe, they believe that Doctor Who is a steampunk character. So we've got the TARDIS coming to Steampunk Mid-Atlantic. Alex Baker, who's my partner in crime in this whole event, is bringing the TARDIS. He's bringing a steampunk R2-D2. And we're gonna have a blast as we celebrate.
Yeah.
But I do want to answer one other question that you had. You said, well, Son of Clowns is being played at a steampunk con. Why? Well, we were fortunate enough to meet Anthony Dowling of Eno River Media. They're a nonprofit, and their function is to promote the independent film business in North Carolina. Anthony, of course, introduced us to another team. Involved in the film business, but there were so many of them, and there were so many good films. We talked about doing some kind of a film festival. I said, well, there's nothing wrong with having a film festival Saturday night of Steampunk Mid-Atlantic. So hopefully this is something that we can continue. It will be, you know, we'll have our films, and then we're going to take them along to several Comic-Cons to let people enjoy the wonderful filmmaking of North Carolina filmmakers. So, you know, Son of Clowns, as I mentioned to both you and Evan, is going to be showing in Wilmington at the Cape Fear Comic-Con that evening. It's going to be showing at the Jacksonville Comic-Con. It is going to be showing in Charlotte, North Carolina, on October
1st. All right.
1st. So, yeah,
good
so
grief.
It's going to be, you know, we've got four venues for these films. They're all North Carolina films. They range from an internet independent serial to Vaughn. We're going to have Ryan Williams on with us. And just, you know, a number of great films, and of course, capping with the feature-length film Son of Clowns. So I just became really enamored with the independent film business in North Carolina. We want to promote it, and since I run several Comic-Cons. Let's promote the film business at the Comic-Cons and let some exciting people see some great films. I'll shut up
yeah,
and
I
Bradley
love it.
Talk, please.
I love it. Well, I love the kind of, partnership between indie film and Comic-Con that you're developing here. Because this is now gotten me and I think probably some of the other indie filmmakers now interested in these Comic-Cons, whereas I knew about Comic-Con, but it had never been anything that, I'd gone to or steampunk or anything. But now I'm like, well, I want to go. They're supporting indie film. So you're getting indie filmmakers to come over that way. And then hopefully, obviously, we'd love for Comic-Con folks to get more into indie film and supporting indie film in North Carolina. So I love what you're doing, and I'm excited to be part of it.
Oh, yeah, very exciting.
And I'm going to say one more thing, and then I'll shut. It's always good when I'm quiet and let all the interesting people talk. But I've got to say thanks to Papa Stro Maestro, because he is the one that introduced me to you and Evan Kidd. Papa Stro is kind of the bridge from wrestling to the Comic-Con
yeah.
world to the film world. Had it not been for Papa Stro, as we all know, Rob Kellum, had it not been for him, none of this would happen. So I've got to get a big shout out to Rob Kellum. Rob, we're going to give you some applause right now. Evan, giving some applause.
I'm kind of like Chevy Chase and Spies Like Us when Dan Aykroyd told him to hold the wires together to defuse the nuclear bomb at the end. It's like, you are the bridge that will save the world. And he's like holding in but getting like all electrocuted at the same time. Yeah.
So you feel like you're getting electrocuted? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Well, no, what I really heard, Rob, is you were saying the beak, the schnoz of Ric Flair. I heard the same voice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I heard.
Oh, Terry Funk, yeah,
voice.
Uncle Terry.
No, absolutely. I heard.
Great from Texas.
Yeah, that's good. So Dan Aykroyd and Terry Funk are now related. Okay, great. So,
but having these guys out here doing the independent films and everything, if you take them to enough of these things, you might screw around, and before you know it, you get a following. So what happens is we show the film at Steampunk, boom, boom, boom,
uh-huh.
builds up some steam. We show it at the next show. Perhaps we bring somebody along that was in the film, so that way people watch the film, and there's one of the guys in the film standing there waving at everybody. And before you know it, by the time it's said and done, you're going to have an event where the movie will be there, the producer, director, a couple actors, the guy who wrote it, blah, blah, blah. And God knows what that can boom into. You know what I mean? You've got all kinds of opportunities by doing that. And the thing about us independent cats and everything, you know, the authors, the actors and everything, take, for instance, like in the book business, if you hit the big five publishers, you already got all the push you need. Stuff it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They don't come around
yeah.
and tell me, oh, I need your help. You've already got it. You got corporate America
right.
blowing you up. In the meantime, us grassroots guys down here on the ground, all we have are each other. And
yeah, absolutely.
It's amazing how you can grab hold of one another's success. And if you celebrate one another's success, now, if you're one of these cats that wants to have it all and not see anybody else get anywhere, then you need to ease on. But wouldn't it be cool to show the movie at one, and before you know it, it's building steam. And by the fourth, fifth show, next thing you know, you stand there at the gate shooting the breeze with John, and somebody comes in dressed like a character from one of your movies. It's it's totally possible, totally doable,
I love
and
that.
It starts at this level. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah.
I look forward to it. It'll be great.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, I'm even more excited now. That's great. Let me say,
but
too.
Son of Clowns, we were on location, not far from the Raleigh area. you know, we're right there. So, I mean,
yep.
And I was thinking, what better film to show in steampunk than Son of Clowns, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah,
it was a natural fit.
Totally. And speaking of Papa Stro, Maestro, Rob Kellum, I'm really excited. One current project I'm working on is a documentary about him. We just filmed, I think Rob also had a good time. We had a great time filming him a couple weeks ago at one of his matches. And, yeah, man, that was also my first time being at a professional wrestling match. And I had so much fun, especially during Papa Stro's match. I mean, it was just crazy. There are people flying across the ring and out of the ring, and then Papa Stro comes out, and he's got, you know, he's got Dorothy, and he's scary and everything, but I know him as just this nice guy, you know, but all of a sudden he's this, like, you know, and it was the drama of the whole thing was amazing. And but that's really what we're trying to show with this documentary that we're working on. It's just going to be a short documentary, but one of the things that struck me when we were filming Son of Clowns, and I got to know Rob, and you know, I would ask him about professional wrestling. He told me that professional wrestling is physical storytelling. And I just thought that was fascinating. That idea is fascinating. And he even talked about his background in theater and how his background in theater is part of what has influenced or informed him. And so we want to show that. That's what we're trying to do with this short documentary about him and his processes is the sort of the art, like professional wrestling as an art, as drama, as physical storytelling. So we had a great time, and we're hoping to finish the film and premiere it sometime in November. So that'll be something to keep on your radar also, is looking out for this documentary about Papa Stro coming out. What Rob, how did you feel about the filming a couple weeks ago?
Oh, it was tremendous. I can't thank you guys enough. I really feel blessed to be a part of this thing, and it's great. You know, first of all, it's great working with you guys again.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and second, I think about it, it's kind of overwhelming, but at the same time, you feel honored and blessed to be a part of it. And you know, I couldn't ask for a better group of people than you guys, you know, to be a part of this thing. I mean, I can't thank you guys enough, really.
Well, the pleasure is ours too. So yeah, it's great. It's great. So much fun.
You know
what
you need on it? At the very end, when the credits are rolling, you need like a 5-minute roast reel where everybody's just roasting Stro.
Hey, didn't we have one of those roasting a clown? Didn't we tape one of those?
We had some blooper reels for sure for some.
Yeah,
clown.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Totally. Totally.
I remember that day.
Bradley, I want to invite you guys to try to get something ready for the Saturday night, November the 4th, which will be the Jacksonville, North Carolina Comic-Con. If there's some way you can get something ready for that, I think it would be phenomenal. We'd have a grand time doing a premiere in Jacksonville if you can do it.
So we might be able to do that.
We'll talk.
I like that idea. So, yeah, we'll talk and we'll see if we can make that happen.
Right. We're going to blow that Jacksonville show up. That Jacksonville show is going straight supernova. We've got so much firepower going on that thing right now. I mean, and it's all been done accidentally. Y'all guys, if you get, y'all, John Stro, if you agree, everything, it's almost been pitched over, and I mean, just tripped over. And the amount of excitement, I never thought, you know, you kind of go in there and you start talking about it and you're like, okay, well, if this guy doesn't bite in the first minute, I'm just going to tuck my tail between my legs and ease on. It's amazing how many I was getting, and we had discussed about getting a table for the Jacksonville Police Department, and as we should have the law enforcement out there and support them. Well, I had an officer at work the other day coming by, and I was talking to him about the plan, and I was trying to get public relations, you know, the guy in charge of that. And let me tell you something, that cop sat there 15 minutes jotting down information. He was so excited about it.
That's awesome.
That kind of stuff right there where you're just mentioning things and folks are just – I mean, when John went and talked to the manager of the venue and everything, the amount of excitement these people are showing for a con that's never happened, I can't help but think we're just going to we're gonna blow it up easy.
I think we are, and really this is a Comic-Con and Stars production because – The three people that are in charge of the Jacksonville Comic-Con are myself, Dave Atwell, and, of course, Papa Stro Maestro. And I tell you what, Bradley, we are pleased that we will have you and Evan and your production team part of our event regardless because we'll be showing Son of Clowns there that night at the Up All Night Film Festival. And if you can get something ready, We can get this documentary going. It's going to be a lot of fun, and we're glad to have you as part of the team because running Comic-Cons, it's a team effort. It's like we want to produce the best entertainment so that people can come and enjoy it. And from what I've seen from your production team, it's just great. And so thanks. I'm just talk to Evan and let us know. And we'll kind of fill everyone in as we get closer to time.
That sounds great. I'm pumped.
Outstanding.
That's good. And now what have you got? I know you've got to be careful as a filmmaker. You've got to be careful about what you say, but what have you got coming up or that you're working on just in general that you can tell us a little bit about?
There's the short documentary that's going to be about Stro. Another one that's actually I can talk about that's already out is a documentary called Radioactive Veteran. It's more of a serious documentary. It's based in Jacksonville. It's about the military's nuclear testing and one veteran and his widow who were affected by it from the 1950s. He was exposed to nuclear testing in the 1950s and went on to have serious issues with it. And, it was a sort of ongoing fight that with Veterans Affairs that they were engaged in for the rest of his life, basically. So it's, again, it's more of a serious documentary, but I think it's an important thing in our history to know about. And that's actually available on Amazon now also. That also played at a number of film festivals, won a couple awards. It's a short documentary. It's only 25 minutes, but it's called Radioactive Veteran. That's on Amazon Prime right now. You can check that out. And let's see, is there anything else I can mention that may be of interest? I have my hands dabbling in lots of projects, but the one I'm most excited about, honestly, right now is the short documentary about Rob. We're just really excited to get that going and get that out sometime in November.
That's great. Well, I'll tell you what, I would like to talk with you about potentially showing Radioactive Veteran at the Jacksonville Comic-Con version of Up All Night. So I'll check with you and Evan this weekend, and we'll see what we can do. How does that sound?
That sounds excellent. I love it. I love it.
Papa Stro, do you think that would be a good one?
Oh, fantastic. Let's do it.
Good.
Yeah.
Dave, you up for that?
Hey, man, I'm ready to jump in a DeLorean and get in November right now. Not that I'm trying to speed up the age process at my advanced age, but, man, I tell you what, it's amazing how pumped. And hats off to you, too, Dr. John, because I'm telling you, I was blown away by the way you operated Cape FearCon. And I'm going to tell you, for all the shows we do, and Lord knows we've gone around and done enough together and we've walked into plenty of quagmires,
yes,
and your shows, the way you operate. It gives me peace of mind as a guy who's actually going to have a table there, but it also gives me the old lightning bolt in the, you know, in the spine. I just can't help but think we've got a lot of good stuff coming up ahead, and this second half of 2017 is just going to be nuclear for us. I'm looking forward to it.
It's going to be great. Well, look, Bradley, first of all, thank you very much for being with us. I mean, I want to invite you to stay with us because we got some other great guests, but the perspective that you've given us from the team that's done Son of Clowns has been wonderful. And we can't wait to see you on, you know, this weekend, see you at the Up All Night Film Festival on Saturday night. We're going to have a blast. And so thank you very much. And tell Evan we missed him, but we're going to grab him again soon for Comic-Con Stars. You let him know that now, okay?
Oh, I'm going to make sure his butt gets back on this podcast. You know, that's one thing a producer's got to do is whip the director in shape. So don't you worry about that. I'm on top of that. You know,
you better. We're going to pound him and make him get back. That's great. All right. Well, now I tell you what, we have got another guest that has joined us, Mr. Ryan Williams. Are you in the room?
Hello and good evening. How are we doing tonight, guys?
Hey,
Ryan,
what's up?
How's it going, Ryan?
Hello, how we doing?
Hey, brother, doing great, man. Glad to have you.
Thank you very much. I greatly appreciate you having me on here, guys. I really, really appreciate it.
Well, we're glad to have you join the Comic-Con Stars team. It's a team, and we are growing. You are an exciting star of Vaughn. Now tell me if I get this right. It is Vaughn, Roommates and Rivals, correct?
Yes, sir. That's a new show we're currently working on, obviously, here in Wilmington. And, you know, I'm so thankful to be on here this evening to talk about the show and talk about the event Saturday, and it's going to be awesome. I'm excited.
Well, tell us about Vaughn. I can tell. Okay, first of all, so that everyone knows, Papa Stroh and I were at the premiere of Vaughn down at the comedy club down there in Wilmington. We had a blast.
Yes,
Papa Stroh, was that a fun event?
Oh man, outstanding, man! That's such a great time, and I've seen some of the cast and crew that, you know, some I've worked with, you know, in the past, and include, you know, honored to see Ryan once again do his thing. It was really a great time. I'm blessed to be a part of it.
It was certainly great to have you guys there, man.
Well, thanks. Well, tell us what's going on. Give us the latest and greatest from Vaughn.
Well, I'll tell you great news today. We just started production on episode 2. And we filmed over out in Castle Hayden this afternoon, and I believe it was Lux Tavern. And we had a wonderful shoot. They were so kind, and it was very productive. And we got it all wrapped probably between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m., probably a little sooner than that. But it was a good time and very productive, and we look forward to continuing on the rest of the series.
Well, that's great. And we know you've got a wonderful director in Mike Roberts. He's a good friend of ours, and glad to see him be able to move forward with this project. I saw some interesting news that I'd like for people to know. Anna Elizabeth is around, isn't she?
Yes, sir. She is an amazing actress that we've had just a part of, you know, we're very lucky to have her be a part of the production. And I believe she is going to be coming out with us Saturday as well, from what I hear. And we're certainly excited. And she was awesome today and extremely pleasant. She's made for this business, I can tell you that, man.
That's
right.
Awesome.
In fact, she's in the new Avengers movie, right?
Yes, sir. She sure is. She took the time out of her extremely busy schedule to come down to come up to North Carolina and be a part of this production. And I tell you what, man,
nice.
It's very exciting.
We've got a beautiful, talented lady to join us at Steampunk Mid-Atlantic, and we're going to have a great time. Why don't you tell everybody a little bit about Vaughn? Who is in the show. Who is Vaughn? Mm-hmm. What is he about? And why are you two rivals? Tell us.
Okay, well, I would love to. It's certainly, you know, Vaughn comes from the aspect that I think a lot of us as artists in this business, no matter you be in front of the camera, behind the camera, we all got to work our way up, you know, and that's just about any profession, and you got to sometimes take the hard road to get to where you want. And in Vaughn's situation, that's exactly how it's been, you know. He's had, I'm sure, buy his own headshots and resumes and all that, and he's certainly, you know, trying to keep himself from blowing through the earnings that he has had. Now, he's finding himself coming up a little short, and therefore he has to have a roommate. His roommate is a rival actor in town by the name of Stefan Harrington, and that's who I'll be portraying in this show. And Stefan comes from the flip side that you would say, you know, Vaughn and majority of us, that's our road to wherever we be, you know, where we may end up. Stefan did not have it that way. Stefan had it the easy way, you would say. His parents bought all of his roles. They got him in front of the casting directors and everything, you know, and that's it, unless you have a lot of money, then it really never goes that way for you. So it's, you know, it's an interesting dynamic between, you know, the rich guy and the guy that's having to do it the hard way, you know, and so that's, I think that's always going to be a nice little conflict between the two. But there are certainly many moments where we'll find the comedy there, and I can tell you just about today, Vaughn is bringing it on another level, and I can't wait for folks to see this, and it's exciting. It's my first time being a part of a production that's been this efficient, I can say that. And it's you know, it's a nice pleasure. Everyone behind the camera is truly experienced. Michael is an incredible director. And Mr. Joseph Freeman, who's also involved with the production and his experience, it's so wonderful to step back when you're not doing the acting and step back and just watch and listen. And those, you know, it's a true pleasure.
I'm sure it is. You got some real experience there. Mike Roberts is he's done a lot of things. He's been a rap star. He's mm-hmm. run Comic Cons. He's done a lot of things, and he's become a very good friend of mine. I mean, he's entertaining. He's energetic, and he really wants Vaughn to work. And mm-hmm. and I think what he's doing is great. Now we had the premiere of the pilot episode. And I've got to tell you, Ryan, that when it was over, it was like, no, we got to see what's next. And I think so many people in the audience were like, it's like, what's next? And we were terribly disappointed the pilot was over. So that's a good thing,
yeah.
Don't you think?
Well, that is an incredible thing. Oh yeah, you always want to leave them wanting more, you know. And that's awesome, man. That's great praise. Thank you, John.
Well, you're welcome. It was the truth. And Rob, you were there. Rob, what was your reaction? If you think about, I'll give you a second as I ask the questions. As you'll think back to the screening of Vaughn, what did you think? I know you liked it because we talked about it. But what thoughts did you have about about that pilot for that sitcom?
Oh, I thought it told a great story, and it told the struggle of Vaughn, you know, with the humorous twist at the end. And Ryan, when you came out at the end, looking for a towel, oh my God,
yeah.
I fell out. That was tremendous.
Oh man, I joke. I tell him I was sucking in so hard I could barely get my lines out. Guys, I promise you, we got so much more to come. I'm telling you, man, and you know, I love the excitement, the support, the whole production is excited about it. And I mean, from behalf of myself and everyone involved, man, this is exciting. We're so happy that y'all are excited about it, and we hope that fans will enjoy it as well. And everybody's been so. That's one thing I really got to take a minute to go into, guys, and, you know, that involves you and everyone else here in town. It's been wonderful support, and that's one thing that,
you know, man.
North Carolina's been kind of getting a little bit of negative pull in the news in the past couple of years, but this is, you know, everything changes. Everything always changes. And this is, you know, the town realizes that, you know, if we just, there's so much experience here on all levels that if we just stick to it, you know, people will come calling, you know. And we're just so grateful from all the small shops and the businesses and Dead Crow Comedy and, you know, Lux Tavern this afternoon, letting us, you know, just all bonding together and saying, hey, we are Wilmington, you know, hear us roar. I mean, you know, we're here. We're still here and we're still putting out good work. And, you know, it's very, very, very sweet. And a big thank you to Oakwood Homes as well. You know, I don't know if they're listening, but, you know, they have been very kind with us and letting us have the location to shoot. So I just want to tell everyone, including you guys, thank you so much, man. It's super sweet.
Not to get overly political.
Hey, our maestro. Maestro, as they say in the wrestling business, too sweet.
Too sweet. Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I'd like to have been a fly on the wall, though, when they decided to cut all that funding. You know what I mean? I just, you know how sometimes people do things, be it a family member or whatever, and you walk right up to them, you look them in the eye and go, dude, what in the hell was going through your head when you did that?
Yeah.
I mean, I just genuinely, as much as I've sat here, and, you know, I'm good about looking at things in black and white. That's the businessman in me. But I'm still trying to figure out what the argument was to cut it, you know, because it can bring nothing but good. I remember them filming. There was a movie with James Woods and Elizabeth McGovern years ago, and I was managing the Berghoff Food Lion back in, like, 96. And I ended up being an extra. Of course, I got thrown off the set for hollering at James Woods, but that's a long story. But nevertheless, but they were filming it in downtown Berghoff. Now, if you've ever been to downtown Berghoff, as a matter of fact, Stroh, you know, in your movie with Goldberg, it was filmed right there at Alley Cats. You know, you had that part there. And I immediately recognized the place. But downtown
Berghoff.
Yeah,
he ran over my foot with his motorcycle, too. I remember that.
Well, hey, he's a big guy. You know what I mean? He's got to have a little room. But
No, he was excited. He was so excited. He forgot where he was going. He almost, like, ran over my foot. But it's all good. I was happy to see him.
Workplace violence. But you know, I mean, for a place like Berghoff that unfortunately is a little stuck in time when you go to their downtown, the fact that they were filming a movie in downtown Berghoff, and now that's not happening anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because these guys took that away, and I'm still trying to figure out what bad it was creating.
I wish I could give you an honest answer on that, you know. And from what I've heard is, you know, the politicians sometimes, and I don't want to say the wrong thing on air, but, you know, they can get greedy. And, you know, unfortunately, I believe that, you know, the small towns like Berghoff, when a production comes in, all of a sudden you got 500, not quite 500, but hundreds of people that are being put to work. And when I mean also around town, catering businesses are now working. And when the production needs lunch, all the local businesses are getting ate at.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Everybody pulls from it, you know.
Revenue for everybody.
The movie The Crow, for crying out loud. The Crow, Brandon Lee died. His body was taken to Oslo Memorial House. Yeah. You know, and, you know, though it's kind of a sadistic thing to look at that way, but still, the fact that there's movies that they were filming, I mean, what was it, One Tree Hill they did down there for years and everything, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
Or was it Dawson's Creek they were doing down there?
I believe it was both. I think Dawson's Creek was between here and Southport, and but One Tree Hill, from what I understand, was strictly a Wilmington thing.
But going on to what you were saying, I mean, the North Carolina coast is such a beautiful and underrated,
gorgeous.
You know, when you start talking the ocean and that kind of stuff, you immediately start heading to Florida. But there's so much beautiful coastline here in North Carolina that's totally underrated. And the reason why nobody sees
it
is because
untouched.
Nobody gets here.
Yes, exactly.
And
untouched, it's beautiful.
There's so much opportunity. And now it's gone, you know.
Yeah, And it's, I mean, but I truly believe, you know, like I mentioned earlier, things, you know, I believe in things changing, and I believe that these are going to be big years coming for us. Because I'll tell you what, man, living out here in 1 to 4 years, we've had a huge influx of people, and they're building apartments like they're sprouting like weeds.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that that will bring more production and just more activity back to this side. And, you know, if there's more people here, this would be more revenue, so therefore we could maybe afford to have some of these bigger productions come back our way, and that would be so sweet for everybody in town. And even
absolutely.
Out in Burgall, and all, you know, you got a beautiful countryside out there that you can shoot in, you know.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I'm totally on board.
It's a win-win
man.
For everybody, man.
Yeah, but, you know, that's why we make projects like Vaughn, just to let everybody know, hey, we are still out here and we're
still there. Yep.
And yes, sir.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
that's
but
great,
gentlemen,
man.
I want to thank y'all very much, man, for having me on tonight. I know you got another guest coming on, but I just want to push for Saturday and tell everybody if you can make it to Raleigh Saturday, please do. Theme Park, man, Mid-Atlantic is going to be where it's at and where you need to be and the hottest ticket in town, man.
Well, I can't wait, bro.
Pleasure having you on tonight.
Yeah, man. Yeah, and we got a little more time. One thing that I wanted to mention is that, and
mm-hmm.
I've spoken with Mike Roberts, who actually sent me a message and said he's listening in and enjoying your talk about Vaughn. You know, we have invited all the cast of Vaughn to come to the Cape Fear Comic Con on
mm-hmm.
August the 12th on Saturday.
Yes, sir.
And hopefully
yes, sir.
We can show more than just, you know, when we do the Up All Night Film Festival,
mm-hmm.
of course, we're going to be showing the pilot for Vaughn, but hopefully we can
uh-huh.
show maybe one. I'll talk to Mike. I'll talk real nicely and see if we can show one more episode.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, that would be great.
I was going to say, the fact that we're already rocking on episode 2, you know, come August, I'm hoping that, you know, there's certainly something you'd have to talk about Mike or talk to Michael about, of course, but.
Yep.
You know, it would be wonderful if we could show you more. And we're looking forward to that one as well. So if people are listening
awesome.
Tonight, take the day off August 12th and come on down to Cape Fear Comic Con. That's gonna be a blast as well.
And meet the cast of Vaughn. Now, one question that I wanted to ask you, because as I said, we got one more time. We expanded this to 90 minutes tonight. I wanted to ask you to tell us a little bit about your background. You know, what have you done? You've obviously done some great things to get to your role. When I say co-starring, you know, you're starring opposite Vaughn Wilson. So how did you get
yes, sir.
There? What have you been doing? You've done some great things. Tell us.
Well, I going back to what I was mentioning earlier with Vaughn's, this is the struggle of the artist, the working person. You know, I've loved the entertainment since I was a child. I was really heavy into sports and everything coming up and all, but then I got into drama in high school, and I really started to take it a little serious. From there, once I graduated high school, I went to college for TV and radio broadcasting, and I did the whole, you know, freshman college try. You know, I did my whole first year doing that and all, and, I decided that TV and radio was not where I wanted to be, and then I wanted to go ahead and pursue acting full time. So that was back in 2007. And just from that time, I just took as many workshops as I could. I learned as much as I could, classes and workshops. And then I just started to work. I grew up in a small town of Sanford, and then I moved to Raleigh. And then I, you know, of course, the film was so prevalent out here in Wilmington back then that I knew this where I'd be and I had to end up. So here we go 4 years later, and, Wilmington has been so good to me for my career. And the fact, like, you meet all these people with the experience, you get the opportunity to do these short films, these feature films, regardless if anybody sees them, it's good work, it's good practice. And, the way I came about Vaughn is just an attribute to the work, man, because it the way it happened, it never happens. I'd actually submitted my information to Mike Roberts over a year ago, probably about a year ago, and it was for a project, and I didn't hear anything back, but, you know, that's, you know, you submit the things all the time and you never hear something back. It's just part of the business. And, well, about 3 months ago, probably not even that, guys, to be honest with you, probably a little less than that, I get an email, and it's from Mike Roberts, and he said, look, you submitted to me a year ago for a project, and honestly, I had nothing for you, and that's why I never contacted you back. Well, I have a show that I'm trying to put together, and I feel like that you might be good for the role of Stefan Harrington. You know, we talked over things. I mean, from the email, I called him, and he, you know, from the start, Mike's been so awesome and honest and nice to me, and just, you know, willing to be there in the creative process with me and allow me, you know, to be right there with him. So, you know, it was a total blessing that he remembered me, that he had my information still on file, because I tell you what, man, that's very rare. And somebody calls you and says, I have something for you. You know, I'm so used to submitting, and calling my agent and being like, you know, I'm doing my part and she's doing her part. And, you know, so it was pretty nice to have him contact me and offer me the role, and it's a blessing, honestly. And I don't want to let him down at all, man, you know.
So, that's cool.
I just, you know, we just try to bring it 100%, you know, because as an actor, I feel, and this is something I kind of just say, you know, I feel as an actor, when it comes to the production, you're the last piece to a very, very big puzzle, okay? All we're meant to do is learn our lines, understand the scene that we're in, understand the story that you're in, okay? What goes on beforehand? You got the crew coming there 4 or 5 hours before you in the morning. You got your directors, assistant directors, everybody there 4 or 5 hours before you in the morning, before your call time. So they've been there to, you know, all those hours beforehand, and they're waiting on the actor, you know, just to get the scene right so that we can keep moving on. So you want to be the best prepared that you can be so that you don't slow down production at all. And especially when it gets to the big times when they've already spent a lot of money, you know, already spent a lot of money for the production and crafty and everything. You can't, you know, it's a real injustice to not be prepared, you know, because you got a lot of people. It's a team effort, you know. So that's the way I try to look at it.
Close the deal. You know what I mean? You guys are the closing pitchers. You guys are the ones that win the ball games, because if you don't do your job correctly, it's not going to fly. I mean, how many movies out there, you know, somebody just did not hit a lick in the role, and it just
And that's wasting money, that's wasting production, that's wasting time for everybody involved, you know. Because, you know, you look at a production team, and people think, oh, it's just your actor and director. Heck no. It's 30 to 40 people trying to make this thing happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, and, like I said earlier, it's just a real injustice to come and not be prepared. So, you know, you want to be the best team player, like you said. You want to be the best team player you can be. And I believe that's in any profession, my man. You know what I mean?
Awesome.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So.
Right. Well,
but you know, that's another good grassroots story. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying about the guys from the bottom up. They have an appreciation for the dirt and how much broken glass they had to crawl through to get where they're at. Whereas guys that kind of become instantly established due to their connections and or financial stability. For the guys that get there the hard way, man, there just seems to be a particular genuine love for it, and in a show.
You couldn't have said it better just then. You said a love for it, and that's what you got to have, because if you truly love it, your success will be on you. You will be happy with the success, whatever you obtain. You know, that doesn't mean you got to be winning an Oscar. If you're working and you're happy, that's all that matters. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Just to be part of it. Yep.
That's it. Oh yeah, you gotta have that love for it, man. Because, like, you know, that grind and the experience is what makes you better. So, you know, it can hurt you in your career if you take off real early. But, you know, hey, we all got our own story to tell. You know, so
right. Yeah.
You know. So
that's exactly
guys,
right.
Ryan,
I want to move forward to the future. Once you finish Vaughn, what kinds of projects are you looking to do?
I have a love for it. I mean, I could, you know, I honestly, guys, I mean, I just, like I said, I enjoy working no matter the genre, what the role calls for. You know, it's an opportunity, and the opportunity is a privilege. So, you know, it's whatever it could be, man. If I'm an extra still, you know, I'm that. I mean, I love to avoid doing that, but, you know, I don't know. We'll see where it takes me. I'm very excited with what's going on right now. Like I said earlier, this is something that I've never really been a part of to where it's taking on this much heat behind it. And, I hope that the work I do for this could possibly bring me other opportunities. But that's so far in the front. I'm not even, we're not there yet. We got to focus on finishing episode two.
That is exactly right. Get episode two and then three, four, five, and many, many more. I certainly hope that that's what is in store for Vaughn. Mike Roberts has done a great job. We're proud of him. Proud of him,
yes,
as one of the directors. We're pleased to have you here today or tonight on the show. Look forward to having you, Wilson, and Anna Elizabeth this Saturday at Steampunk Mid-Atlantic,
yes,
and then Saturday night at the Up All Night Film Festival. We're gonna have a great time, and look forward
it's gonna
to
be
everyone.
Like I said, hottest ticket in town, guys.
Yeah, man.
Oh yeah.
I mean, we've got Steampunk Mid-Atlantic headed by Papa Stro Maestro himself and Dorothy, both dressed as steampunk. We'll have Alex Baker in the TARDIS and the R2-D2 steampunk, and just lots of great things. So we're looking forward to having a great time. So
yes, sir,
I'm
guys.
What,
pardon? It's going to be a great time. We are ready to rock and roll, man. And I can't wait to see you guys in person. Give you a big hug and handshake. And thank you again for tonight. On behalf of myself and all of the production of Vaughn, a big thank you. And we look forward to doing what we got to do, man. Giving you
that, that sounds good. We'll see you.
Thank you so much for being here, man. Really. Thank you, guys.
No problem, guys. No problem. And y'all have an awesome evening. And we'll talk to you soon.
You too, brother.
All right.
Thanks, man. Good having you on.
We'll have you back again.
Thank you, sir.
All right.
Thanks, sir. Y'all take care, guys. Yes, sir.
You the same, bro.
Okay, you too.
All right. We'll be in touch. All right. Good night. Bye-bye.
Good night. And now.
John, what we need to do there in Steampunk Mid-Atlantic, we need to take a page from the Immortal Vanilla Ice, and we need to stop, collaborate, and listen, and put something together. Didn't mean to lead it off with Vanilla Ice. That sucked. I'm sorry, guys. But the amount of excitement, and, hearing that, I'm telling you, man, it swells the heart. And Stro, and not to throw him under the bus, but I'll go ahead and use him as the example. When we was in high school, he always talked about wrestling. I'm going to be a wrestler. I'm going to be a wrestler. And we'd shove him around and say, shut up and look at him. And the ultimate goal for me in my writing, and I've said a lot, is one day when somebody walks up to you and says, what do you do for a living? Say, I write, or I wrestle, or I act, or I direct, or I produce. So that way, because let's face it, whatever keeps your lights on, that's what you do for a living. Anything else is ancillary, So you get guys with that type of energy and that type of enthusiasm, and you put them together. Only God knows what they can do. For all the unmotivated prima donnas that are out there doing stuff just because they are who they are, God knows what you can do if you put some like minds together with like energy and like desire. It's just scary. I'm glad he was
exactly
on, man.
Right.
I tell you what, that was lightning in a bottle right there. Well done.
you're right, Dave Atwell. And I liked your phrase "crawling through broken glass." That's one I had not heard before. So that was a good
never heard that one.
And no, I haven't. I learn something every day from Papa Stro and from you. And you guys are smart. That's why I got you on here. All right, now. We have another guest. We have a very talented musical guest, Neil Lee Griffith. Neil, are you there?
I am.
Well, that's great.
What's
up,
Neil?
Hi.
That's right. Neil and I. You're welcome. Neil and I met and then re-met. We met at some Comic-Con, and I gave him a business card. And then, Neil, tell everybody the story of how we got reconnected and our mutual friend, okay?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I was at a Comic-Con, and I was beside Greg Bo Watson, who is incredibly talented. Shout out to Greg Bo.
Hey, who's
and
that?
I was talking to him about. I'm sorry.
We love Greg Bo.
And
I'm sorry what happened because we love.
But don't mind Dave. He's a New Orleans Saints fan. Who that? Who that?
All right, go ahead, Neil.
Okay. And I told him I was looking to get into film scoring. And he was like, well, I know a guy. So he just hops on his phone right then and there and calls you, John. And
yep.
So he's been telling me about you and how you do the caricatures over there. And it's like, the more he talked about you, the more familiar you sounded. So I'm like, man,
that's terrible. Anyway,
I think I know him. And I'm like, wait a minute. And I had your card still. So I went and got it, and I showed Greg. Well, I'm like, is this the guy? He's like, yeah, that's him. I'm like, I know this guy.
Imagine that, Dave.
Yeah, no kidding.
Imagine.
You had to have done the Jeff Spicoli with the, I know that, dude.
Okay. That's awesome. Somehow Neil and I had met at a Comic-Con. He told me about what he did, and I said, yeah, here's my card, you know, getting ready to produce some Comic-Cons. Get up with me, and he did through Greg Bo. So it's great. It's great to have you here. And the group that you have is called Antler Hill. And tell us a little bit about the kinds of music that you do. I mean, it's really neat. I've listened to it since you sent me those links. I love it. And we got a couple songs we're going to play here in a little bit. But tell us about music, how it started, and why you're doing what you're doing.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I grew up not being able to say my own name, really, because my stutter was so severe. And just as a child, I mean, or even as an adult, speaking is our main form of communication. And it was just, I'm like, I couldn't grasp it because I couldn't speak. And I always loved the Saturday morning cartoons like every other kid. But
Me, raising my hand.
For their theme songs. I would watch a show just to hear the music and the songs in it.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was always an instrument around the house. My grandparents had a player piano. Nobody really played in my family. We just had them lying around. So music was always there in some form or another. And I grew up just loving it and loving film music before I even knew what film music was. And I would record the scores on the cassettes and just play them over and over constantly. And as I got older, I learned piano, and from that I taught myself guitar.
Awesome.
And then I started writing my own music, and I was so nervous about it. And just the stage fright of having to get up in front of people, and it was just terrifying. Until I started using the symbol of a scarecrow and sort of dressing like a scarecrow on stage. Because in certain mythologies, a scarecrow is a being that cannot walk or talk, but because he's planted in the earth, he knows everything that goes on in the world. So I use a scarecrow as a symbol for others, maybe in my position, that you're not stupid or there's anything wrong with you, no matter what the media or whoever tries to tell you otherwise.
So, and the moment
pretty cool.
I stopped, thank you. And the moment I stopped doing it sort of just for myself and to do it Scarecrow guys, everything became so much easier.
That's you know, I'm a big fan of Buckethead, the guitarist Buckethead.
Okay. Yeah.
Huge fan of his. Yeah. He's amazing.
That's great. Now, I'll tell you what, I would like for us to suspend time for 3 minutes and 1 second. And this is a song, I believe it's called Mystic. Is that right?
Mystery? Is that what you said?
Mystery. Or I thought Mystic. You know, I'm sorry. I am dyslexic, ADD, and everything else. And so, but it's 3 minutes and 1 second, and I heard it before the show because you sent me the MP3. So, Dave and Papa Stro, I want us to just take a pause here a minute, and I want us to hear one of Neil's songs. It's really awesome. And this is from your latest album. Is that correct, Neil?
All right.
Yes.
This jam.
From the latest Lost Harvest.
Okay. Here we go. Figure out how to do it. There we go.
Hit the play button.
Yes, sir.
P-L-A-Y.
Yeah,
now,
the one right next to record.
You guys will think I'm crazy, but you know I'm crazy. But and it's not.
In the meantime, John's sitting on a stack of 8-track tapes trying to get this going.
Yep. Well, I tell you what, Neil. All great plans somehow, every once in a while, don't work. So it is not working. I've had wonderful issues with Long Talk Radio, and I've had one too now.
It's not the muddy water one, though. It's not the muddy water one.
No. It is like, well, Neil, you sent it to me, I uploaded it, and it's not playing. So I tell you what, Neil.
Oh, no.
It's not the Dope Bo Diddley either. No, we're going to invite you back, and we're going to play your music probably next week because we'll have Darnell Boone, and we'll need something else. So I will get this technology problem worked out and all that. So tell us right now, where are your albums, and where can we find your music, and where can we buy it? Because that's what's very important.
Absolutely.
AntlerHillArts.com or the trunk of my Toyota.
Or what?
Or the trunk of my car.
Or the trunk, okay. Now, the trunk of your car is probably what you're going to have when you come up, because you and your wife will be up at Steampunk Mid-Atlantic, right?
Yeah, we're going to be there.
That's
with
right.
All the records available on the table.
When I was on the road years ago, that was my house, trunk of my car. So I can dance.
Trunk of the car.
I appreciate that.
Yeah,
where you kept the 8-tracks.
Yeah, it's all my Slim Whitman 8-tracks and Elvis and everything.
You know what's bad is that I'm the oldest guy on the show, and I keep ripping on everybody else about 8-tracks. That's what's neat about being Dave, that you're the oldest guy, but you don't come off as that, you know, being the oldest guy, even though that I'm probably rivaling all of you in gray.
You're the oldest
guy,
you know, the craziest
Dave is
guy,
what David Lee Roth got the inspiration
the
to make. I'm just...
Oh, my goodness. Well, I tell you what, Neil, I'm sorry we had the technology problem, but I'll get it figured out for next week. Will you come back and join us with Darnell Boone?
Absolutely. You know
good.
I will.
And then we'll talk, and we'll get it worked out. In fact, I'll show you this weekend at Steampunk Mid-Atlantic. We'll have it worked out, and everything will be great. So what I'd like to say is, first of all, thank you to the greatest panel in the world, Papa Stro Maestro. Thank you for being here tonight, sir.
Oh,
he
yeah, great.
Be letting the dog out.
Yeah.
He's letting the dog out, yep.
Woof, woof, woof. Thank you, guys. Appreciate
Dave Atwell,
it. Always a blessing.
Dave Atwell, you're the gray man. You're the gray man now. So thank you for being here, Captain Dave, the gray man.
the senior, what was it, the elder statesman they call him now?
Captain D.
Well, we call you several. We call you
minus
several things, Dave. But we don't tell
minus
you what it
sticks.
Is.
Of course not. Yeah.
Yep. And Neil, thank you very much for being here. We're going to get your music played next week. All good plans will happen. Is that okay?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
And we'll see. That's right.
Thank
you're welcome. And we will see you and your wife, Antler Hill, at Steampunk Mid-Atlantic on Saturday morning. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Man.
We'll have you play. We'll work out the times and everything. And I think we're going to have a great time. Hope you can stay and enjoy the North Carolina Filmmakers reception. That will be from 6 to 8 to 7:30 on Saturday night.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good place for
a
composer such as yourself to meet folks like Evan Kidd and Bradley Bethel and a number of other Rob Underhill, Will Williams. Just the list goes on, so you can meet those folks and they can enjoy your music. And we look forward to having you there. And what I'd like to say is, on behalf of Comic-Con stars, who are the promoters of the Jacksonville Comic-Con, Papa Stro Maestro, Dave Atwell, and myself, we are thankful to have our listeners, to have our great guests. We will talk to
Absolutely.
You next week. That's exactly right. Next Thursday night, we'll have Darnell Boone, and, of course, we will have Antler Hill back. This weekend, we will be all over Raleigh, North Carolina, for the Steampunk Mid-Atlantic, the first annual. Alex Baker will be there with the TARDIS and the R2-D2 and everything. Brett King, the magnificent steampunk maker, will be there with all of his contraptions. That's what he calls them. We will have the splendid teapot race on Sunday afternoon. We'll have the cosplay contest around 4:30 on Saturday afternoon, North Carolina Filmmakers Reception, and then, of course, the Up All Night Film Festival. There will be awards. Don't anybody leave, because at midnight the awards come out. And they will be fun.
Nice.
They will be interesting, and people will be surprised. But we are awarding great filmmaking, great acting, and great production. So that's what I've been busy doing today is getting.
No chocolate fish is a bozo button. No
Pardon
chocolate
me?
Fish is a bozo button.
No bozo buttons, I promise. Maybe a few of the others. But look, thanks everybody for joining us for this special 90-minute steampunk special on Steampunk Mid-Atlantic. I appreciate everybody. Papa Stro, thank you. Dave Atwell, thank you. And, of course, Neil, thank you. We'll all be back. Actually, all three of us plus our guest, Neil, will be back next week along with Darnell Boone and, of course, Alan Braswell, his buddy, as we talk about boxing. Papa Stro, you're enough of a boxing expert, you can help us out, right?
Absolutely. Let's do the Dukaroos. I can't wait.
Can't wait. All right, we'll see everybody 10 o'clock a.m. Saturday morning at Steampunk Mid-Atlantic. We'll see you then and see you next week on Comic-Con Stars. Thank you very much and have a great weekend.
Races, paces.
That's it. Good night, everybody.
99.